Good morning, and thank you for tuning in this morning for this edition of Mornings for the Master, Thursday, April the 28th, 2016. We're so happy that you've joined us. My name is Chris McElyea, your host today, and we're going to take a look at some events that are going on around us in the Brotherhood that you will want to avail yourself to attend. And also, we're going to continue our study through the New Testament in 2016, as we look at a chapter of the New Testament every weekday. And our topic for consideration this morning is going to be the 16th chapter of John. And if you have missed recently, previous programs will be archived in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network. Just go to the on-demand tab, take that, and then find Mornings for the Master in the list of programs, and there you can pull up previous programs. Also, you can use this to pull up previous programs of other programs of interest to you here on the network. Now, as always, we want to begin with a look at things that are going on around us. And first this morning, we want to mention that there is going to be a Ladies' Day in Blossom, Texas, at the Blossom Church of Christ, located on Highway 82, there in Blossom. The speaker is going to be Becky Blackman, and the topic is going to be Singing in the Rain. And this is going to be held on May 7th. May 7th will be the date. You're asked to register beginning around 8:30. There'll be a period of registration and a continental breakfast. Then the Ladies' Day will run from 9 to 1 p.m. and there will be a lunch concluding the day. So make plans to attend that, ladies. That's going to be an excellent day in Blossom, Texas, at the Blossom Church of Christ on Highway 82 there in Blossom. There is going to be a gospel meeting that is going to be held May 1st, beginning this Sunday, running through the 4th in Emory, Texas. The Emory congregation is located on Highway 69 there in Emory. And the theme for this gospel meeting is going to be the whole duty of man. The speaker is going to be Brother Jeff Rollo. And this will begin in the Bible class hour on Lord's Day morning with the thought of the whole duty of man, perception. In the worship hour, the topic will be pattern. In the evening service, the topic will be potential. Monday evening's topic will be knowledge. On Tuesday, heart. You know, Wednesday, Heights. Looking forward to this event. For more information, you can contact the Emory Church of Christ at 903-473-2658. That's 903-473-2658. It is almost time for the Focal Point Workshop. That is going to begin on the 30th, just a few days away, and run through May the 5th. The Focal Point Workshop, Keeping Our Feet Firmly Planted by Keeping Our Eyes on Jesus. This will be held at the University Church of Christ at 115 Country Estates Drive in San Marcos, Texas. The contact number is 512-353-2487. You can also email them at office@univcofc.com. This is going to begin on the 30th, and there are classes for everyone. There's going to be child care available. There is going to be classes for women, for youth, for elders, preachers, youth workers, youth, you name it, there is a class for you. This will kick off at 5 p.m. with Brother Clay Bunn speaking on If Not for the Cross. And it just continues from there. What a great day. It's going to be Sunday. There's going to be some really fantastic lessons. One of the themes this year is remaining relevant. That's at 6 p.m. Sunday, Brother Melvin Otte will speak on We Need More Sons of Issachar. On Monday at 8 p.m., Brother John Moore will speak on The Peace That Passes Understanding. Another one that should be an interesting topic at 11:15 a.m. there on Monday, Brother Tyler Young will speak on Family Matters, Christ, the Christian, and Culture. On Tuesday, some of the highlights of Tuesday, for preachers at 10:15 a.m., Preach Better, Speaker Jeff Jenkins. Also at 10:15, there will be an elders class on elders meetings. They do not have to be eternal to be effective. At 8 p.m., From Strings to Wings, Rearing Children to Soar, Wade Webster. Some of Wednesday's highlights include at 3:30 p.m., The Bible Through Biography, Speaker Wade Webster. At 9:15 that morning, Brother Andy Baker will speak on two great challenges, unity and assimilation. And the Focal Point Workshop will conclude at 11:30 a.m. on Thursday morning with the Focal Point Finale, 7 Questions in 20 Minutes. Eric Owens, Mike Vestal, and Dan Winkler, the panel for that. The Focal Point Workshop is aimed at encouraging and strengthening those who preach the gospel and others who have made the work of the church a priority in their lives. These classes are designed to be informative, inspirational, and encouraging. Every effort has been made to ensure that Focal Point provides biblical insight combined with practical application. Our focus is on Jesus, and our aim is to strengthen His church. God has entrusted us with a great work, and our prayer is that Focal Point will be of service to those who are fulfilling His work. What a great event coming up in San Marcos, Texas at the Focal Point Workshop. Also, one last event we want to note for you this morning, and that is the 24th Annual Gulf Coast Lectures. That is going to be held May 5th through the 8th in Portland, Texas. The subject is going to be Christian Fellowship. Thursday evening speakers will be What is the Meaning of True Christian Fellowship? Michael Light. And Fellowship with God? Robert Solomon. On Friday, May the 6th, this will continue at 6 p.m., Brother Steve Patterson, Fellowship Among Children of God, and Wesley Wynn, What About Fellowship with Denominations. On Saturday, beginning at 10 a.m., Brother Jim Nash, Fellowship as Related in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Brother Tom Waycaster, Fellowship and the Doctrine of Christ from 2 John verse 9. There will be a lunch provided at the noon hour, and then the day will resume at 2 p.m. with Steve Hetherington, The Fellowship Between the Father and the Son. At 3 p.m., Matt Gibson, Lessons from the Old Testament Concerning Fellowship. At 4 p.m., Clay Bond, The Ultimate Disfellowship, Hell. Also a ladies' class at that time with Carly Bond, Lessons for Ladies Concerning Fellowship. Then after the supper break that evening at 7 p.m., With Whom May We Scripturally Fellowship, Jason Rollo, and The Forgotten Commandment, Disfellowship, Kerry Clark. On Sunday, beginning at 9 a.m. in the Bible class hour, Brett Moore, Fellowship in Evangelism. At 10 a.m., Tommy Hicks, False Views of Fellowship. There will be a lunch served at the noon hour. And then that evening at 5 p.m., what ramifications does Ephesians 5:11 have concerning fellowship with Keith Sellers? At 6 p.m., Don DeHerd will speak on the beauty of fellowship, and the lecture will come to a close at 7 p.m. when Curtis Richwood speaks on the ultimate fellowship, heaven. All lectures, audio, video, DVD, CD, will be taped by Tollstar. For more information, call 361-643-6371. The Portland Church of Christ, located at 2009 Wildcat Drive in Portland, Texas. You can email them at portlandcofc@juno.com or visit the website at www.portlandtxcofc.com. Big event coming up in Portland, Texas that you will not want to miss if you're going to be in the South Texas area. That's what we have on our bulletin board, and when we come back after the break, we're going to be examining John chapter 16. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings for the Master. Hope you have your Bible turned to the 16th chapter of John. And as we begin chapter 16, the Lord is speaking to his disciples, and he's pointing out to them the fact that a portion of the cost of following Jesus is the fact that when you follow Jesus, the world is going to hate you because of it. And so now let's pick up here in verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. The world hates those who are in the world but are not a part of it, which is what a Christian is. We can definitely see that back in chapter 15 in verses 18 and 19. Verse 20 in that chapter pointed out that the world hates Christians because the world hates Jesus. We're seeing this manifested today. And what began with verse 21 of the 15th chapter and through verse 4 here points out to us that the world hates Christians because the world does not know God. Back in the days when John penned this letter, there were many people in that day that claimed to know God, but they did not know him in the least. And we are surrounded by people today that claim to know God, but they live a life that is far from him. They teach things that are far from him. Indeed, the Old Testament prophets were correct when they said, what is evil becomes good, what is good becomes evil. For now, to preach the counsel of God today, the world will consider you a hate monger, will consider you unloving. And those things that the Lord finds abominable are celebrated today. But we should not be surprised. Jesus tells us that we are going to be persecuted simply for claiming the name of Christ. And they will claim to be doing it because they follow God. Yes, consider all of the things around us today that people are claiming to do in the name of God, which are so far removed from God. Oh, there is nothing new under the sun. In verse 2, Jesus said that they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Now that seems far-fetched, doesn't it? But isn't that exactly what happened to the apostles? And I don't intend to upset anyone, but we need to understand that the day is coming when the same fate may await us as it did the apostles. The day is drawing near again when many Christians will die at the hand of individuals who say they are doing the will of God. We must not be unaware of the scriptures. We must not allow ourselves to not be aware of these things that God has told us. You see, when we choose to live in ignorance, when we fail to open the pages of inspiration, we will soon fall into the snare of false worship and false service. This is exactly why we see so many different denominations and religious teachings today, more than we can count. And all of these differences can only point to the fact that man is ignorant of the scriptures, for God is not the author of confusion. We must avoid the trap. We must not base our belief on what the preacher or the elder or the rabbi or the minister or the priest says. It must be based upon learning the scriptures for ourselves. We must work hard to know the things of the scripture so we cannot be caught up in false doctrine. We must not be ignorant of the word. It is ignorance of the word that will lead us to believe and to do things that are opposite the will of God. And we can do that and at the same time believe we are living for God and doing His will. Jesus taught these things to His disciples because He loved them, so they would not fall away from the Lord when these upcoming persecutions and tribulations would come upon them. Again, point back to verse 1. These things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. In verse 4, it says, but these things I've told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Jesus wanted them to remember these things so they would be ready. So they would be prepared and armed with the scripture when the hour would come that they would face persecution and rejection. But just as the apostles needed to prepare themselves and be ready, we also today, we must be arming ourselves with the Word of God. The only way to do that is to get into it and to stay in it. It is not going to fill us by osmosis. We need to be ready and prepared when the world rejects us. We need to listen to what Jesus is telling us here and make sure that our faith does not become shipwreck when trouble comes upon us. This is very, very timely to us today when we consider the growing animosity toward Christ and the church. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Yes, we see that definitely being pertinent to this day and age. Though the world may reject the message, just as it was in the days of Noah, and Noah preached for decade after decade, living righteously, and though all the world rejected him except his own family, he could not stop, nor can we stop telling the world what the scripture says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, that he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We must spread the gospel even if the world does not want to hear it. We must spread the gospel even if the world hates us for it. We must spread the gospel even if the world persecutes us for it. And we must spread the gospel even if the world kills us for it. We must be willing to teach the gospel even if the law of the land someday forbids it. And we're getting dangerously close to that point today. But as Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8 to share in suffering as a good soldier of the cross. We must be ready to deny ourselves, to totally yield our lives to Christ, and to not be silent, but to be bold, proclaiming the word of the Lord. Even if they ridicule you at work, even if they ridicule you at school, even if it causes your neighbors to turn against you, we must be ready. And the things we experience today may soon become much worse as the rejection continues to grow throughout the land. But if you are one who has to suffer for the cause of Christ, you can take the same attitude that Peter and John did and Paul, and rejoice in the Lord if you are considered worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. And so now as we move on, beginning in verse 5, Jesus begins to speak to the disciples here about the coming and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so much for us to gain here. He says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Again, now let's go back to verse 5. "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus, back in chapter 14, had promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to help them. But Jesus was going to have to return to the Father before the Comforter would come. And again, in the 7th verse there, we see that it was actually to their advantage in their labors if Jesus left, so that the Helper might come. So Jesus here does not want them to be sorrowful that he is leaving, but to be focused on the Lord's work and have that be their complete priority. In verse 8, he said, "When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Jesus said here that the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict. To convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit is going to show through the divine message that all people are guilty and stand convicted of sin. The work of the Holy Spirit here is absolutely essential. The Spirit will convict. No one is going to look for salvation from sins until they are convicted. They're not going to understand the need until they're convicted. So Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit will come and convict the world concerning sin and of righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit, in convicting the world in regard to sin and getting man to understand his guilty position, God has to teach us what sin is. Without the revelation of God, we would never know what God's law is, or that we have violated God's law. The Spirit, through the divine revelation, would do just that. It would teach us what sin is and convict us of the need to get out from under the consequence of sin. Jesus also said in verse 8 that the Spirit would convict the world in regards to righteousness. God has to teach us that our righteousness is insufficient. It is hard for people to recognize that there is no righteousness before God, for we do not possess righteousness within ourselves. On our own, we do not have the good works. We do not have the right living apart from the Word of God. The only way to that is to live a life conforming to the will of God. And the only way to know the will of God is to understand and to abide in the Word which the Spirit has given to us, having given to us those things which He has heard. In John chapter 6, verse 63, we read, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, for they are life." We have to be convicted of the seriousness of our sin. We have to understand where we stand because of our sins, that we stand separated from God according to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. The standard of righteousness is God. And apart from the blood of Christ, we cannot ever measure to that standard. You see, we like to compare our righteousness to the righteousness of others. For when we look at the world around us, we feel pretty good about ourselves. We may think ourselves to be a very pious individual. But that's not the standard upon which we're to look at. Compare yourself to the righteousness of God. When we do this, we'll see that we can never measure up without Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit teaches us that through the Word, that our righteousness cannot measure up. Jesus also said there in our text that the Spirit will convict the world in regard to judgments. You see, the judgments of this world wrong. They're perverse. And if we base our judgments upon that, our values and our standards, if based on the world standard, will be all wrong. There is no doubt of the wrongness and the perversity of the world standards today. All you have to do is look at some of the judicial rulings of the past few years. The world has turned upside down in a negative way. Paul declared that we become corrupted by deceitful desires. Our understanding is darkened. And we must get into Christ. And we must have our mind and our hearts renewed in the new man. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God is the standard, the mark for judgment. Satan is already condemned for his false judgment. And all who follow Satan and then who follow all of his lies also stand condemned to the same judgment. The Spirit would come, Jesus said, to set the standard so they could understand proper and right judgment. The Holy Spirit would come to the apostles, and those inspired men would write down the things which the Holy Spirit would reveal to them. And so today, when a man reads or hears the Word of God, it is the Holy Spirit thus working on our heart to convict us of sin, of righteousness and judgment, you see, for, as we recall the words of Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, when we are moved by a sermon that we hear or something an individual teaches us, one that causes us to see the need for repentance or change in our lives, it is not the words of the preacher. It is the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word that causes our heart to be moved. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And now as we move on to verse 12 here, we see Jesus speaking of the fact that the Holy Spirit would guide. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus was going to send the apostles the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. It was the Holy Spirit that would guide the apostles, and this is very important, because it would not be the work of the men themselves. Also, the fact that the Spirit was going to give them all truth, complete and thorough. Remember what Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 4 and 5? By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Yes, we can have today the knowledge, the same knowledge that was given to Paul and Peter and all of the others, the complete word, which we now have in the written form, the revelation was made by the Spirit. The apostles and the prophets would write down those things which was revealed unto them, and we gain that same understanding. When we read it, is the same effect as if Jesus had spoke the very words of the Father. Jesus, who has all authority, and he spoke complete and whole truth. Now notice in verse 14 that the revelation of the Spirit will show the glory of Christ. The Holy Spirit in his work glorifies Christ. The Word glorifies him. How is the Spirit going to do that? By revealing all truth. The truth is that Jesus is glorious. The Scriptures declare everything about Jesus. And without a doubt, Jesus is glorious. And so, we need to consider today the need to let the Holy Spirit work in our life. The Holy Spirit is active. He uses the medium of the Word of God. For they are not just words in a book, but they are the words of the Spirit, written down by the apostles and the prophets, those who were carried along, who were directly moved by the Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit was threefold, according to Jesus. Here, first, Jesus said the Spirit would convict. And the Word of God is that tool. It is the medium to convict the hearts of man today. When men open their mind and their heart to the Word of God, a man will be convicted by it. Second, the Spirit would reveal all truth. When we read the Scriptures, we are reading the final revelation of God, the words for the last dispensation. All truth has been revealed. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of the pages of Scripture, has revealed to us all truth. There is nothing else. There is no more. The Spirit does not come today and reveal certain things to certain man. He has given all things, and it is available for all men. And third, the Spirit would glorify Jesus. When we read the Word of God, we can see the glory of Jesus in the things that we read. Everything in the Scriptures points to the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And when we consider that, we thus can see the peace that is found in God and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Jesus begins to tell them that he is leaving, but that they will see him again. Of course, we understand that Jesus is referring to his death and his resurrection, but they did not understand this yet. But Jesus understood their worry, their concern, their puzzlement. And we can take encouragement from these words also. For notice that Jesus knows what is on the hearts of men. Jesus knows our weaknesses. He sees when we do not have understanding, when we struggle. And Jesus here reminds them that because of his divinity and his knowing, he knows what they are asking among themselves. He knows what they are thinking of. Verse 20, Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into this world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In verse 20, we know that we saw an amazing statement about what is going to take place. And the reaction, that they would be weeping and mourning, and the world would be rejoicing, but their sorrow would turn to joy. Jesus is going to die, and he says that his disciples will weep and lament when this happens. He pointed out that the world will rejoice at his death, because the world hates Jesus. Just try to think for a moment of the added burden that would place upon Jesus willingly going to his death for the very people rejoicing in his death. You know, we would like to think people would be sad over the death of Jesus, but the world rejoiced. In chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said, The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. If you wonder why the world has a growing hatred towards you today, just consider chapter 7, verse 7. The world is trying to rid itself of Jesus Christ again, because he shines light upon their darkness. He reveals truth that the works of the world are evil. And so the world hates Jesus, and we should not be surprised, because he told us they would. They would rejoice over his death, and Jesus knew that's exactly what was going to happen. But oh, what this says about the amazing grace and the love of our Lord Jesus, to still sacrifice himself, even though he knew their hatred would be so great. But the death of Jesus would not be the end, as he points out. In verse 21, he said, A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Sorrow would turn to joy. The comfort that we find in verse 21, the joy will be found in the resurrection. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The cross would no longer be the place of sorrow, but the place of our hope and our joy because of the resurrection. In verse 22, he said, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Notice, the joy cannot be taken from you. The scene of the cross goes from the bleakest moment in the history of man to the hope for all men. And Jesus promises that afterwards the relationship would be different. But at this moment, they're not ready for all of the things that Jesus is going to tell them. But after the resurrection, it will change. Their questions will be answered. Verse 23 said, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In verse 24, Jesus said, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be filled. This is the third time that Jesus has said this to his disciples since he washed their feet in the upper room. True and lasting joy cannot be taken away. We have the power of prayer and a full dependence on the power of the Almighty. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and are using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus now gives another reason why his disciples can have lasting joy and peace. Jesus begins with consolation that though he's now using figures of speech to them, there will be a time when they will learn plainly about the Father. Jesus will speak to his disciples differently after the resurrection, when his disciples will be able to bear what he has to say. And Jesus said he would send the Spirit of truth, as we saw earlier, who would teach the disciples clearly everything that they need to know. Now notice what Jesus then says in verse 26 and 27. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Jesus says that he will be the mediator for his disciples. Jesus says that the Father himself loves them. To truly appreciate the love of God, Jesus became the answer to our sin problem. And because of that, our joy can be full. We can have the everlasting peace that passes understanding. We can have a joy that cannot be taken away from us. The true and the lasting joy And in verse 29, his disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech, and now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Now the disciples think they understand. They state that they believe that Jesus has come from God, but they notice that, or rather notice that Jesus does not validate this faith here. Jesus answered them in verse 31, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus answers, "Do you now believe?" He goes on to show the disciples that they do not yet have the saving faith needed. They're not going to endure all things that are about to happen shortly. The hour is upon them, and the disciples are going to be scattered. Rather than focusing on who Jesus is and believing in him and who he is, and that he has all authority and all things are in his hands, they're going to scatter like rabbits. They're going to run for their lives with their faith failing them. They think they believe now, and they're fixing to be put to the test. And they're going to fail and desert Jesus. Again, notice verse 32. "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." The disciples are going to desert Jesus in the hour of trial. But the Father will not leave the Son, and Jesus will not be alone, because the Father is with him. And verse 33, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ is our joy and our peace. In this world we will have tribulation, and this life is going to be hard, but we have comfort and encouragement, for our Jesus has overcome the world, and our hope lies in Jesus Christ and not this world. Our time is out. I thank you for joining me this morning. Tune in again tomorrow for another edition of Mornings for the Master. If the Lord wills, I'll see you again next Thursday at this same time. Until then, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a fantastic day.